Blog Talk Radio.
Almighty Yahweh promises to gather everyone he scatters. And I am a Hebrew. We are Hebrew.
I am a Hebrew, born in Arkansas.
I am a Hebrew, I was born in Texas.
I am a Hebrew, and I am from Florida.
I'm a Hebrew, and I was born in California.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in San Diego, California.
I'm a Hebrew, I was born in Indiana.
I am a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Spain.
私はヘブルで、日本で生まれました。
Soy hebrea, nací en Puerto Rico.
I am a Hebrew from West Africa, Liberia.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Straight Way.
We are Hebrew.
Over my sister.
Hallelujah. Shalom, shalom, daughters of Zion. Blessings to you all. My name is Sister Jennifer, and I just want to thank you so much for tuning in for another episode of Sister to Sister. It's always an honor and a pleasure for me to be able to sit with you tonight. I don't have Mother Carol with me tonight by my side. She had some prior obligations that she had to take care of, but I do have some very special women that you will hear from tonight, and they're very special to me because I live with them. And these truly are my sisters. These are the sisters who are laboring amongst me every day. So you will hear from them in just a moment. But first and foremost, I just want to acknowledge the Most High for His mercy and His compassion, His love that pulled me away from the wickedness of the world and that just continues to change me daily by the renewing of my mind so that I can fully assimilate to Him the way that it's meant to be. I want to acknowledge our elder, my master, Elder Rufus, for just taking the time out every single week to answer my questions and helping me to prepare for this sister's broadcast. And he does so much for the people of Yah behind the scenes, things that people, they don't see, and he doesn't do it to be seen. And I really admire the love that he has for Yah and for Yah's people. Finally, I want to acknowledge our shepherd, Pastor Dow, and what a blessing it is for me to be a part of this ministry, to have a pastor who lives a righteous life and not a life of hypocrisy. As a result of that, we, the people, the followers of this ministry, can truly walk in freedom. Hallelujah. I miss you, Mother Carol, and I miss you, Sister Ashley. I just want to just acknowledge you both. Thank you so much for the labor that you put into the broadcast every week. But, you know, most importantly, I want to acknowledge the fact that we don't teach or speak anything contrary or different from what's being taught by our leaders. So we are taught by the men of this ministry. We don't have our own thoughts. We don't have our own ideas, and we truly are submitted to the ministry. And we are able to word things in a way that women can relate to because we experience conviction when the word goes forth. So please make sure that you're listening tonight. The topic that we're going to cover tonight, we have talked about this before. We're going to talk about Lot's wife. Pastor Dow covered it this Shabbat service when he talked about sin. But we're going to talk about Lot's wife and the temptation to look back. On the sisters' broadcast, we talked about Lot's wife a couple years ago, but it needs to be covered again because the nature that still exists in us truly needs to die. So that's why we're talking about Lot's wife again. So the sisters that you're going to hear from tonight, they're very special to me, as I said. We live together under one roof. We eat together. We pray together. We fight the devil in us together. And I would go to battle with them any day because I know them. I know the relationship that they have with Yah. And I admire their desire to strive toward the things of holiness. And I'm not just saying that because it sounds good. It really is the truth. And we've been able to experience much healing. We've been able to overcome much because of our pursuit of love as we follow Yah. So on the line with me, I have Sister Chandra and I have Sister Hadassah. And you're also going to hear from Sister Damaris a little later on tonight as well. So as we uncover and talk about Lot's wife and the temptation to look back, they're going to interject their personal experiences. And those personal experiences will help you out in your walk. So I think it's fitting to cover this topic again because I know we have a lot of new listeners, you know, from 2 years ago. We have a lot of new listeners. So let me first and foremost get a sound check from Sister Hadassah. Sister Hadassah, can you just greet the sisters and tell us, just tell us how long you've been connected with the ministry?
Yes, ma'am. Shalom, sisters. It is an honor to be able to be on the broadcast with Sister Jennifer tonight. I've been in the way and connected with Straightway for about 7 years now, and I can say that it's been one of the best experiences in my life.
Hallelujah. She said one of the best experiences in her life, and I truly believe her when she says it. Sister Chandra, will you please give us a sound check on your end? Just greet the sisters and tell us how long you've been with the ministry.
Shalom, sisters. I've been in with the ministry for about 7 years also, and I can totally agree with Sister Hadassah. It has been one of the best experiences in my life also. It's just been a joy.
Hallelujah. I can hear you both clearly, and I think we're ready to go ahead and move on. We're going to hold off on phone calls tonight. But, you know, what Pastor Dow talked about on Shabbat really, truly hit home. You know, he talked about sin, but when he got to Lot's wife, he said, how many times do you look back, even in your thoughts? And he said, Lot's wife was good for nothing because she defied the authority of her husband and Yah. So when you hear that word, she was good for nothing. You know, a Gentile mindset could think, wow, those are really harsh words. But that is the true word. That's the true word of the Bible, because we know that the word tells us that if we put our hand to the plow and we look back, that we're not fit for the kingdom. So if you're not fit for the kingdom, you're good for nothing. She saw the destruction and the judgment, but she still looked back with empathy. She had empathy for wickedness. She still had love in her heart for the wickedness of the city, and she had assimilated to the city of Sodom and Gomorrah instead of cultivating a relationship with the Most High. And as a result, she had a relationship with Sodom, a relationship with that wicked city, and she died with that city. So, you know, when we hear that Lot's wife looked back, without understanding, it could seem to be of little consequence. Oh, she just looked back, you know? But it really reveals a great deal about her character. She directly disobeyed the clear command of the messenger of Yah that was given to her. And we know that, you know, rebellion is the sin of witchcraft. She clearly rebelled. And I'm going to keep repeating this because we are warned, remember Lot's wife. I'll repeat this throughout the broadcast. And I think it's interesting that we're told to remember Lot's wife. You know, the Most High tells us to remember a lot. You know, he says, don't forget Yahweh, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Remember me in all things, and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. Thou shalt remember all the way which Yahweh thy Elohim led thee 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee. Remember the words of our master, Yeshua, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works. Remember the former things of old, for I am Yah, and there is none else, and there is none like me. Then he tells us, remember Lot's wife. He even tells us to remember Miriam. And you can go back and read the account of Miriam. What did she do? She murmured against the man of Yah. And we're told to remember these things because this is the same spirit that still tries to tempt us this day. So when we're told to remember, I believe that's very important, that we truly, truly remember. You know, Lot's wife didn't merely just look back. She dragged her heels from Sodom. She wasted time. By conducting herself in this way, she gave unmistakable evidence that her heart really was not with Yah. She didn't believe that Yah would really destroy this wicked city. She left reluctantly. She left, and her heart wasn't fully with the Most High. She didn't have the faith that she needed to fully flee that city. She sought to save her life, is what she did, but she lost it. So when the time comes and we're told to flee, we have to flee, and we can't look back. You know, we're always told, come out of her, come out of her, come out of her. And then we're always told that you have to come out of her in your mind. Because if your mind is still focused on the city, you're going to look back. So what about those who have left the city? Have you looked back in your mind? Maybe you live on a community. Do you still battle? Looking back, do you still think about and reminisce on the things that, you know, were in the city? What about those who haven't left the city? Does your looking back and your love for the world keep you there? So let's talk about those who have left the city. And I'm going to go to my sisters, because I want to hear about, I want you all to share with the Daughters of Zion, you know, some things that potentially tempted you early on in your mind. We're going to start with Sister Chandra. And what I want is for you to please give us a personal experience. What tempted you in the early years to want to look back? Once you have left the city and you were living on a community, how did the Hasatan tempt you to look back in the early years?
Bless y'all, sisters. I had a lot of projected fears that tempted me to look back and go back. I had a lot of accusations, guilt, shame, condemnation, a lot of pride. I allowed the enemy to feed me lies about the Father not choosing me, only choosing me just, or bringing me here just to bring my daughter here. Just things about my past, and how the Father didn't hear my prayers, and he would just bombard me, my mind. It was just terrible. And I was just always thinking about that, never remembering, you know, what the Father did to get me here. But I just let those things overcome me. Just worrying about if I was the tear, and if, you know, thinking, well, I'm not wheat, I'm the tear. When things would happen, I would think it would be me, or it would be my prayers that, you know, was causing havoc. You know, if I'm praying for somebody and something would get worse in them, I would always fear that it was my prayers. And I would think to myself, well, maybe I shouldn't be praying, you know, it was just silly things that he kept bombarding my mind. And the one thing that I would always go back and think about is in Luke 14, where it talks about counting the cost of, you know, your building. And I would always think on that. Did I count the cost of leaving the city? Did I count the cost? I thought I did. And I would just think on that, and I would say, Father, I believe I did. You know, it talks about leaving your father and your mother and leaving your children, everything behind, you know, to be with the Father. And I would always think about that, and I would say, Father, I believe I did. I believe that my heart is to be, to serve you and to be with your people. But I'm just not seeing, you know, are you dealing with me? Am I yours? And just, he would just bombard me. And I hadn't, what it was, when I think about it now, part of counting the cost too is preparing your mind for the war that's, coming out of the city and moving onto a community or even close to a community. And that's a really big part of it, you know. For some, it may be easy to leave your family behind, to leave everything behind. But then what is your mind like, though? You know, are you prepared for this war that Satan has for you? To a lot of the self-accusations, I had self-accusations on myself. It was funny because when I would have accusations against my brothers and my sisters, I would immediately go to the Father and cry out to him, you know, and ask, you know, let him know, Father, this is not what I want. you know, because I love my brothers and sisters and I want to have that love for them, you know. But when it came to myself, it was like I feared. I had the wrong kind of fear, and I wouldn't go to the Father regarding the self-accusations and the guilt, shame, and condemnation. I would always think it was my fault, which it is, but just at that time, I always thought it was me that was, you know, doing something wrong that was causing, you know, whatever havoc was going, whatever was going on in the ministry or in the house, that I had something to do with it. And so those are some of the things that I had to deal with, feeling that the Father was going to cut me off. That was an accusation against Yah. And just, I didn't feel like he was, like I said, like he was dealing with me, or that I was growing in him the way that I should have been. So those are some of the things that I dealt with. And I would always think about, well, maybe I'm not supposed to be here. Maybe this wasn't the time, or were my motives right in leaving the city and wanting to move, you know, around the saints on the community. So those are a lot of things that I dealt with.
Those are some very good points, because, you know, when you first come into a community setting, you could, the devil could tempt you to be overwhelmed. You know, I don't belong here. These people are just too holy. You know, I'm just here to maybe bring someone else in. You know, there's a lot that the devil could tempt you with in your mind. And so you think, I don't belong here. And so he's trying to get you to look back, to go back to where you came from, even though it's not an option at all. And I'm glad that you brought up your daughter, Sister Chandra, because, you know, there's an account of Lot's wife in the book of Jasher. And I just want to read that really quickly. It's Jasher 19, and I'm going to go to verse 51. It says, Yahweh rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah and upon all these cities, brimstone and fire from the master out of heaven. And he overthrew these cities, all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities, and that which grew upon the ground. And Ado, the wife of Lot, looked back to see the destruction of the cities, for her compassion was moved on account of her daughters who remained in Sodom, for they did not go with her. So it says that she looked back to see the destruction of the cities, for her compassion was moved on account of her daughters who remained in Sodom, for they did not go with her. And I think it's important that we pause here and we talk just a little bit about soul ties, because, you know, as women, there could be, there's something in a woman where we are actually made to nurture. You know, as mothers, we are made to nurture. And so it really takes a disciplined lifestyle, a great love for Yah, to know how to separate yourself if you see your children are not moving toward the Most High Yah. And, you know, she mentioned her daughter, and I want you to share your experience regarding soul ties, because, you know, your daughter was, Tia was 11 when you started listening to the ministry. And at that age, there could be some uncertainty as far as, you know, if she'll follow or not. So tell me about that process and just the personal decisions you had to make about your faith while teaching her at the same time.
Like she said, Tia was 11 when I started listening to Pastor. Pastor at that time, he didn't have online church. He just had his videos, his old videos that we would watch. But prior to that, I was learning about the Sabbath. I didn't know anything about the Sabbath or how to keep the Sabbath. We had just came out of was going to a first day church, Sunday church, and I left that to go to a Seventh-day Adventist church. And if you know about Seventh-day Adventist churches, they don't teach you about the Sabbath unless you are attending Sabbath school, or unless you're about to become a member, then you'll go to Sabbath school and then they'll teach you. The difference between the difference between them, the Seventh-day Adventist, and pastor, is pastor, he continually teaches us about the Sabbath. Every Sabbath, he talks about the Sabbath, and, you know, and so we're always learning about the Sabbath. In the Seventh-day Adventist church, I didn't understand how to keep the Sabbath. And so when I finally came out of the Seventh-day Adventist church, I didn't know how to keep the Sabbath. So I had looked up things online, and I would print stuff out, and Tia and I, it would be her and I on Sabbath day just learning about Sabbath, learning about the dietary law, just little things about how to keep the Sabbath, and still didn't really understand how to do it, but that's just what we did. When we start listening to Pastor, Tia, of course, was still in public school. I didn't feel led to make her wear a head cover or wear skirts, so she just continued, you know, wearing her pants and her head uncovered. When we started listening to Pastor, I hadn't started wearing a head cover or skirts yet, but on my first visit to Straightway, after listening to Pastor for a little bit, I felt convicted to wear the skirts and the head covers, but I still didn't feel led to make her wear head covers and head cover and skirts. She didn't fight or buck or kick anything. She would listen to his messages on Shabbat with me, and sometimes she would go and be with her dad on Shabbat also. So we hadn't really established, since we still didn't know how to keep Sabbath, I didn't establish, you know, hey, she can't come over on Sabbath or anything like that. So she was still going, but she would still listen. Eventually, in 2011, I got a chance to come to Georgia and to go to Straightway with the Georgia Saints. And I got to visit the land and meet Pastor and all the saints and everything. Tia didn't go with me that time, but later on that year, we had the first GOTS in like October, and she went with me. So all of this time, you know, she's not, you know, fighting or saying, oh, well, why do I have to listen to him, or what are we doing? What are you getting into me? She just followed me. You know, it was just like I was learning, and she just followed me. I would, you know, talk to her about things, and she would just say okay, and I just let her, you know, just let her continue to live her life. You know, let her just, you know, I didn't impress upon her Sabbath or anything, but because we didn't really fully understand just yet how to keep the Sabbath. And when we learned how to keep the Sabbath, then, you know, we would be home. We wouldn't watch TV or anything, and we would just kind of just hang out and sleep and eat. So when the Father started putting in my heart that I was going to be moving, but I didn't know where or anything, I hadn't really talked to Tia about it just yet. And as we started going on and Pastor started teaching on faith and really explaining what true faith was, and it was like the Father was building my faith, and he had already dealt with me on soul ties with my family, with my parents, because I was really close with my parents and my family. I did everything with my family, and if there was a day when I got off work, I would go get Tia, and we would go straight to my parents' house. There was not a day that I did not go over to my parents' house. If we didn't go, my dad would ask, well, where's Chandra and Tia? So the father had dealt with me on soul ties and everything and breaking soul ties with my parents, and I was fine with that, with the separation. And Tia was very close with her dad because he's in her life, and she had a very good relationship with him. And we all three of us, we had a very good relationship. And so she would go over to his house on the weekends. Eventually, when we start understanding what we needed to do to keep the Sabbath, I talked to him about her keeping the Sabbath and things that, you know, she could do and couldn't do at his house. And, you know, he understood. We even had, like, kind of had it changed where she would maybe go over the next day, but she, like, on Friday night, she would stay home, and we would listen to Blog Talk together, and then she would just go over to his home the next morning or so. But as we start going along, later on along in 2011, and it was getting close to 2012, the father was revealing to me where we were going to move. My plan was to move to close to Straightway, and the plans got changed to Georgia. In the meantime, I did not say anything to anyone. The only ones who knew that I was moving was Sister Ashley there at Straightway, and Brother Rufus at the time, and then he had instructed me to talk to Pastor and to talk to him about the move and get counsel from him. But eventually I had found out that I would be moving to Georgia, and I had instructed Tia not to say anything to her father, and I didn't tell my family, and I told her, when that time come, I will talk to your dad and I will let him know. And so all this time she's just, you know, being obedient, and she's not having any issues or not back-talking me or asking me why we got to move or why do we have to leave. I don't want to leave my family. I don't want to leave my dad. She was just obedient, you know, and it was only the father that gave her a willing heart to just obey and to just go. But even in my mind, though, I had already, talked to the father and said, I don't know what she's going to do. I know she's close to her dad. I said, but Father, even if that means that I have to leave her, I am willing to leave her. And I mean, because Tia and I, it's always been her and I. And so, but I told the Father, I didn't know about soul ties, really, but I just told him, I said, even if she doesn't come with me, I said, I will leave her with her dad. If that's where she wants to be, she can stay with him and he can have custody of her. But all I know is I just want to serve you, and I just have to deal with whatever comes with, you know, with the separation. I just have to deal with it. But all I know is now, if you, the way that you're building my faith up, I can't look back. And I can't not go because she's not going to go. And that's, I just knew that I couldn't not be with the Father. And I knew I didn't want to be disobedient. And so I even told Tia, I said, look, I know that you love your dad, and I know that you're really close with him, and you want to be with him. I said, I'm willing to leave you. I will leave you here with him, and he can have custody of you. But I'm leaving. I'm moving, and there's nothing that is stopping me. Nothing and nobody. And so we were sitting here. I remember we were sitting in the parking lot of Kroger's grocery store when I told her that. And we had just finished grocery shopping. And she was looking at me with these eyes like, wow. And then so she said, well, I do want to go with you, Mommy. She said, but I just don't know what my dad is going to say. I said, we'll get to that. I said, the Father will take care of that. And we'll get to that road when it's the time. When it's time for us to talk, for me to talk to him, we'll just deal with it then. I said, but I'm letting you know right now that I'm not going to stay here. I'm not going to allow you, our relationship, to make me stay here. I'm leaving. It's already settled. The Father is giving me the place to go, and I'm looking for jobs, and that's just that. And she's been with me ever since. When we finally moved, she did have a tough time with missing her dad. And she missed him a lot. She cried a lot. And she just, as she grew, and she would talk to me about it sometimes. Sometimes she thought I was being insensitive. I tried not to be. It was just that I had been past that. And I told her, I understand how you're feeling, and I'm not trying to be insensitive. I said, but you'll see. And as you grow in the Father, those soul ties, you'll be able to break those soul ties, and you'll understand. And she did, but once she received the Holy Spirit, then that's when the soul ties, where she really broke the soul ties with him. And she still says she misses him, and she would still be like, well, Mom, I miss him. And she still talks to him, and they have a relationship, but she just knows, she understands the soul ties now even more, and how, you know, how the manipulation can come in and everything. But you have to break the soul ties with your children. It's so true what Pastor says about those children tugging on your heartstrings. I remember I have a niece that lives in Ohio, and that was my baby girl. And so I think like maybe a year ago, I talked to her on the phone. I hadn't talked to her since we left Ohio, and I talked to her. And immediately all these emotions just start coming in, and my heart was just like, and inside it was like, you left her. And then I think she did say, well, Auntie, why did you leave us? And I just told her, I said, I had a life that I wanted to live for the Father. I said, I know you don't understand that, but I had a life that I wanted to live. And it's not about me. It's not about you or family. It's about what he wants. And immediately after I got off the phone, I just started breaking soul ties. I mean, it's just that quick, just hearing her voice and remembering. It's all the memories that we had before. So just that quick, I start praying and just asking the Father, you know, just to, you know, purge my conscience, you know. And I started breaking the soul ties between us, because it was just like yesterday. And it's just that quick that those soul ties can just start. You know, you're looking at pictures. That's why it's not good to look back, because you don't know at what point that something is just going to trigger in your mind, in your heart, and it can make you look back and start reminiscing and wanting to, you know, go back. And it'll come in so subtle. It may not hit you like, bam, right away, but it'll just be so subtle. And next thing you know, you'll be looking up like, wow, how did I get here? Or how did these, what happened? So I'm sorry, Sister Jennifer, go ahead.
Hallelujah. So as Sister Chandra said, she was willing to leave her daughter because of her personal commitment to the Father. But she set an example. And she allowed her conversation, she allowed her lifestyle to minister to her daughter. You know, she didn't live a hypocritical life. She wasn't keeping the Sabbath sometimes and then sometimes not. You know, she was truly, with all of her heart, following the Most High. So we're going to hear from Sister Hadassah in a moment. But the question is, you know, will you have the faith to leave the city? Will you have the faith to put to rest all of your thoughts, all of the temptation that comes with wanting to look back? You know, not just the material possessions, but what about the children? Are you willing to leave the children if they won't follow the Most High? Remember Lot's wife. You know, saving one's life, it really pertains to the way that you live, you know, that your manner of living, and it includes your hopes and your dreams and your traditions, you know, your attitude. She talked about the things that she used to do with her family. You know, they had a tradition where she would always go and visit her parents. You know, there's hopes and there's dreams and there's relationships that you form, and all of those things come from the world. And that forms us and makes us who we are, and it's in opposition to the Most High Yah. And this is why we're told to love not the world. Love not the world. So the problem was that Lot's wife failed to take advantage of the opportunity that was given to her. The opportunity for salvation. You know, the lesson that to whom much is given, much is required. And she was given much, and there was much that was required of her. So we have to remember Lot's wife. You know, there's never been so much opportunity for us to truly know Yah, to know his word, to know his laws, his statutes, his commandments, than what we have in this ministry. We have no excuse at all. There's no excuse. The man of Yah teaches on everything. He doesn't skip anything. And the Messiah says, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? And this is a question that we have to ask ourselves individually. Will he find faith in me? And he will find faith if we seriously take his admonition to remember Lot's wife. She was totally unprepared because she didn't have faith. You know, we really need to be working diligently to build our faith by submitting to Yah in every opportunity that he presents to us. So remember Lot's wife. I want to go to Sister Hadassah. You know, I want you to share with us, what tempted you, you know, coming into the faith? You said you've been in the faith for 7 years. What tempted you in the early years to look back? You know, what were some of the things that the devil tried to, you know, make you think that you actually missed?
Yes, ma'am. I was sitting here and I was trying to think on what would trigger me to go back in my mind and think on those things that I missed in the world. And what came to mind in the early years of being in the faith is when I would find myself despising instruction. When I found myself despising instruction, my thoughts would then go back to, oh, I remember when it was only just, when it was only Darusha and I, who was my husband, it was only I didn't have so many people that had the rule over me. I would begin to think, wow, how easy it was just to go in my room and nobody could see me because it was only my husband and I. And I began to really think on those things when I got to that point, when I didn't like what was being said to me. Different just vain thoughts would come, like I missed the liberty that I had to come and go as I, you know, as I please. I only had to let, you know, my husband know. Or, wow, it was nice to have our own space where I could decorate the home, you know, or something as simple. But it's not simple, but even relationships. I would think on relationships that I had that were severed once I came into the way. Because you can't serve two masters if they're not speaking the same thing. I wasn't strong enough to be able to maintain those relationships and give all of my heart to the Father. so those were the things that were temptations to me that caused me to look back in the beginning years. Did that answer your question?
Yes, ma'am, it did. And, you know, as you were talking, I was thinking about the humility that it really takes to allow you to overcome that temptation. And, you know, we're talking about temptation, and I just want to read an account when the Messiah was tempted. It's Matthew 4. I'm going to read verses 1 through 11. It says, "Then Jesus, led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of Yah, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of Yah. Then the devil taketh him up to the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of Yah, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt Yahweh thy Elohim. Again the devil taketh him up to an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship Yahweh thy Elohim, and him only shalt thou serve. And the devil leaveth him. And behold, angels came and ministered unto him." So when you look at this account, the thing that caused the devil to flee was that the word, you know, it was the word. Yeah, the devil knew the word too. He even quoted it. But the Messiah was the living word. So we have the word in our lives, and we have the opportunity to actually live the word out. We have the opportunity to keep his laws, his statutes, his commandments. You know, we have the opportunity to not put any other gods before him. And if this is really in our hearts, then we're not going to be tempted at all. So there's a resistance that comes when you truly are immersed in the word, when you know the word and you're living the word as well. Sister Dasa, if you could please share with us your testimony regarding soul ties. You know, I want to go back to that because that was the thing that really got Lot's wife to look back, soul ties. And I see, you know, in the time that I've been in the ministry, I've been in the ministry for 7 years as well, and I've seen a lot of people look back. A lot of people go back because they had not dealt with soul ties. You know, they hadn't severed those soul ties that they've had. So if you could just share your testimony regarding soul ties and, you know, the decisions that you had to make in order to stay in the faith and to not be separated from the Most High.
Yes, ma'am. I had, I'll begin with, I was very close. To my mother, she had once put her hand on the plow, but she let go and she turned away. So I'll begin with this. I used to be very close to my mother. From a child, anything that I can think of, that all my thoughts, all of my secrets, everything that you wanted to keep hidden or whatever it is, my mother, I felt comfortable telling my mother these things. I felt comfortable. It was almost like she was my protector. And mind you, my dad was in the picture. My dad is very active. He was in the home. But I had esteemed my mother so much. And I did this even going into adulthood. And I did so much that certain advice that she would give, I would esteem it above those, again, who had the rule over me, one being my husband. And so when I came into the faith shortly after, my mother came into the faith as well, and I began to learn the word at the time. And so I noticed that the counsel that I would receive prior to coming into the faith, prior to having any word within my heart, I would take it and I would eat it up and I would go with it. And I'm not saying that it was all wrong, but it was some things that were not of Yah that I did follow, and it began to hinder my relationship, my marital relationship. And the more that I became strengthened and the more word that I was able to get in my heart, just as David did, hiding that word in my heart, I noticed over the course of years, maybe 2 years, I noticed that the Father began to separate. The more counsel I received, the more I was able to reject. I was able to look at the word and line it up, what was being said to me, and I was able to look at the word and say, yay or nay, okay, no, I'm not going with this one. And I noticed the more that happened, the further away I became to her, the more she withdrew herself from me. Now, at this time, we were still what you would say close, just not as close. And I began to say, well, Father, what am I doing? I didn't understand really soul ties at this time. I'm like, I'm not being a good daughter. I'm losing my mother. Because even, I hate to use the word feeling, but for the lack of a better word, those strong feelings that you have towards your mother, oh, that's my mother. You know, you have all these deep just connections with your mother. I noticed that those began to be severed over the years. And it came to a point when I was, when she said something to me that was a huge conflict that really caused me to draw a line in the sand. And at that point, my husband, he instructed me there will be no more communication at this time. No phone, no email, no nothing, because the direction that she's given, it is against Yah. So I took that advice, and it had been several years since I had spoken to my mother. I think it had been maybe 2 years that we had not spoken, and I was able to see her recently, and I went to give her a hug, and I didn't really know what to expect. We sort of looked at one another, and I didn't know if she was going to hug me. I didn't know if I was going to hug her, and I never thought I would get to a place where I didn't know if I wanted to hug my mother, if I was unsure if I should hug my mother. But I was there, and we hugged one another, and we embraced one another, and I remember thinking, Father, this is not the same. This is not the same, Father. The way that the mothers that I have in Israel, Father, it's different. I don't have that connection anymore. And at that time, I realized how far the Father had brought me, that he had truly severed the ungodly soul tie between me and my mother. And I was so grateful. And I want to say this, it's not, I love my mother dearly. She's my mother. I respect her. I know, let's just say that I see what the Father has done on this side of glory, how he has restored and he has given me mothers that will follow his direction, that can give me godly counsel that I will see in the kingdom. And that is why I rejoice. So I hope that helps.
Yes, ma'am, it helps very much. And, you know, the Father promises us that he would replace the carnal family members. He's going to replace them with the true family of Israel. We have mothers in this ministry who really are true mothers. And that's what happened in the case of Sister Hadassah. Those soul ties were able to be broken because she had formed a holy bond with her true mothers in Israel. And, you know, it really takes a level of humility And even going back, let's go back to when we talked about temptation. You know, we talked about the Messiah being tempted. And when the Hasatan left, it said that the angels came and ministered unto him. So there was a resistance. You know, he resisted. The devil left, but there was a comforting factor afterwards. So the angels came to minister and to comfort. So why wouldn't he do that for us? He will, but we have to resist. We truly have to resist. And it is very important that the angels came and ministered to him. And he promises the same thing for us as well, because we have the Holy Spirit in us. And, you know, the Holy Spirit is our comforter. So going back to Lot's wife, you know, I think of pride. I think of the fact that she felt that she had no need for Yah, because she felt secure within herself. And her pride turned her into a pillar of salt, because she didn't have faith in the Most High. And daughters, we badly need humility. You know, and there's a sense of appreciation that should be evident as to how much we truly need humility. And I think that we miss it a lot. It means so much to the Most High that we really have the right perspective of ourselves in relationship to Him, because it establishes a right perspective of other people. You know, it establishes a right perspective of life itself, all the right values and the standards that he expects. And there's an order that follows when we humble ourselves. And without humility, we're going to end up like Lot's wife. We'll end up like Miriam. So we truly have such a need of humility that the Most High will go to extreme ends to make sure that we realize our dependence on him. He's going to humble us. He'll take away money. He'll take away jobs. He'll take away possessions. You know, he'll do anything necessary in order to make us see the need for him. And I shouldn't say take away, but he's going to, anything that you've placed above him, he won't have any other Elohims before him. So he's going to make you see that you've placed something in front of him. You're serving this, and you should be serving him. If you have humility, you'll see it. If you don't, then you'll miss it. So we truly need humility. We're going to go to a break, and then we'll come back and we'll talk a little bit more about Lot's wife. So hang on tight, and we'll be right back.
Shalom, this is Sister Wenda. I hope that all of you are enjoying the broadcast that you're listening to right now. We appreciate each and every last one of you, our faithful listeners and supporters of the Straightway Truth radio broadcast. We try to make sure that we do our due diligence and do our best to ensure that you have the best broadcast, as well as the truth, coming to you in the hour that we're living in right now. If you would like to help us in this endeavor, your offering will be greatly appreciated in the work of the Ministry of the Most High Yah. Our mailing address for your gift, offering, or letter of support is Charles Dowell Jr. That's Charles Dowell Jr. And Dowell is spelled D-O-W-E-L-L. 506 Ellington Drive. Ellington is spelled I-N-G-T-O-N. P.O. Box 32, Lafayette, Tennessee, and Lafayette is spelled L-A-F-A-Y-E-T-T-E, 37083. Again, our mailing address is Charles Dowell, Jr., 506 Ellington Drive, P.O. Box 32, Lafayette, Tennessee, 37083. If you would like to contact us by way of phone, the country code is 1 area code 615-688-3025. That's 1-615-688-3025. You may leave a message there, and be the Father's will, we will do whatever we can to try to return your message. It is our hope and our prayer that as you continue to listen to the Straightway Truth Ministry, and as you apply the teachings of this ministry, that you are finding peace and growth within you, your family, and life as well. Please tell others so that the truth may also have an impact and touch others' lives so that they may enjoy the benefits of the truth of Jesus Christ just like we all are. Shalom, the King is coming.
Hallelujah, the King is coming. So when we're talking about Lot's wife, you know, looking back is not really the looking back on your possessions, you know. It really is looking back on the soul ties, like we've talked about, like we've brought up. You know, Lot's wife looked back with a longing to return to what she had left. I mean, literally, her life was on the line, and rather than being engaged in surviving, and rather than being engaged in salvation, she placed a much higher priority on the soul ties that she hadn't broken with her daughters. You know, she looked back, revealing what was still in her heart for the wicked city of Sodom. And her actions show regret for having left. So that's the thing that you have to ask. You know, will you truly leave the city? Even if you don't live in the city, will you mentally leave the city? You know, what happens when someone looks back? You know, what happens today? Looking back is, I guess we can relate it to driving a vehicle and not looking straight ahead. You know, you're not fully engaged to, you don't have your eyes on the road, and that can be very scary if you're driving and you're not even looking straight ahead. So let's look and see what the word says about looking back. We're told that no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of Yah. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Say not thou, what is the cause that the former days were better than these? For thou dost not inquire wisely concerning this. And therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You know, I think it's interesting in Ecclesiastes 7:10, say not thou, what is the cause that the former days were better than these? And, you know, when you're continually going back in your mind, going back to the way things were before the faith, you're saying that, you know, the former days were better than these. You're calling the Most High a liar, and you're not really truly showing your gratitude for him pulling you up out of the miry clay, out of the sin that you were in. So we're told to remember Lot's wife so that we don't look back, so that we don't take our hand off the plow, so that we don't become unfit for the kingdom. And the devil could try to make you think that, you know, this life is just too difficult. You know, when you long for the old life, gradually you're going to get to the point where you think that, you know, this walk is too difficult. I can't do it. And because your mind and your heart is going to be focused on the things that were, the things that used to be. And, you know, there's you know, we're told that obedience is better than sacrifice. It's better to obey than to just simply sacrifice. So when we give, there's a way that you can actually give conditionally. You can give according to what you want to give. And in this ministry, we are taught that you have to give all. You know, I'm sure that Daughters of Zion, as we all learn our place, we learn our roles, you know, we realize we own nothing. We are possessions. You know, when you realize that your husband, he's not yours, you don't own him, you must give all. Your life does not belong to you. Your life is not yours. You must give all. Even your children, they don't belong to you. They belong to your husband. You must give all. So sacrificing, and you really haven't fully decided to obey Yah and to give all, that's conditional giving. And when you sacrifice on this level, you put conditions on what you're going to give up. So the woman that is unwilling to give everything to Yah and really, truly give everything to him is nothing. You don't give anything. And Yah promises to provide solutions for every problem, because he tells us that there's no temptation that has overtaken us except that which is common to man. Says he's faithful. He won't allow us to be tempted beyond what you're able. The temptation will also make a way of escape. It says, with that temptation, he will make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. So we have to get in our minds that we're going to give all. You know, there's a way that you can deceptively give. You can fool yourself into thinking that you've given, and you haven't, because you've given conditionally. But we are required to give all. I want to go to Sister Damaris now, if I can. I'm going to bring Sister Damaris up, and I want Sister Damaris to, first and foremost, just say, greet the Daughters of Zion, and tell us how long you have been connected with the ministry. Sister Damaris is another sister who I have the pleasure of living with under one roof, and, you know, it's been an honor just really getting to know her. Again, she's another sister who is near and dear to my heart. All of my sisters are, who live here in Georgia. We're in such a good place right now because, you know, I labor with sisters who truly desire the Father. So, Sister Damaris, please greet the sisters for me.
Yes, ma'am. Bless you and shalom, mothers and sisters. I have been in the faith now for about 5 years, and I am grateful. I'm grateful to be able to serve Yah in this capacity, and it is an honor to be able to fight sin, hell, and the devil with my sisters, not just in Georgia, but throughout all of Yisrael. It is an honor.
Hallelujah. Yes, ma'am. Sister Damaris, I want you, you know, we were talking about soul ties, and you and I talked a little bit earlier about soul ties and, you know, soul ties regarding parents. And I want you to share with the Daughters of Zion what you shared with me earlier.
Yes, ma'am. The devil, Hasatan, tried to use my natural family as a temptation. He tried to use my concern for them about their welfare and their well-being, especially in regards to prepping and just being prepared for anything that could happen. He used worry and fear to try and condemn me for leaving, basically. And I realized that those were wicked soul ties. It was a wicked soul tie that kept me connected to my family that just tried to put all of this condemnation on me. What encouraged me and helped me to fight is Matthew 12, verses 46 through 50. And basically, Yeshua says,
who is his mother and who is his brother. And the ones who do the will of Yah, the ones that do the desire of Yah, are his family. And that just kept my heart focused, kept my mind focused on where it needed to be. And I said, these people, my natural family, hate Yah. They're not trying to serve Yah at any level. And I don't hate them, but my desire to please Yah was greater than the flesh desire to stay with them. So as I grew more in the faith, I realized that I needed to break those ungodly soul ties from them so that I can keep my peace and just keep moving forward in Yah.
Hallelujah. Thank you for sharing that. You know, we're told to not love the world or the things in the world. You know, we're told that if anyone loves the world, the Father, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away and the lust of it, but he who does the will of Yah abides forever, just like love abides forever. So if you truly have love in you, you're going to love Yah. You're going to truly be striving to love the Most High Yah. You're not going to have an inordinate love for the world. You're not going to put the world above the Most High. You're going to obey. You're going to obey regardless. You're going to put aside, you know, the longing that you had to, you know, before I lived on a community, I could come and go as I wanted to. I didn't have to check in with anybody. I could, I had money at my fingertips. I could spend whatever I wanted to spend. You know, before the community, I wasn't required to submit everything to my husband, but now it seems like I have to ask him about everything. You know, you're not going to see leaving the city as bondage. You're going to see it as freedom because you're finally coming into your role. So, and, you know, Damaris brought up, you know, about the family ties. And we're even told, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take up his stake and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for my name's sake will find it. So Yah requires us to have allegiance to him than to the members of our own families. So we're told to remember Lot's wife. And we bring this up several times because, you know, as women, we are, we can be emotional. We can be emotional beings. We were created to be nurturers. But we have to be able to separate the emotion and to really tune in to what Yah wants beyond what our emotions are telling us that we should feel. When we look back, we fail the Messiah. We fail Yah. You know, we are taken from the blessings and the protection that comes from following him, and we're left to our own defense. And that independence from being left to our own defense causes us to miss his mercy. So ask yourself, you know, have I been drifting from the truth? Have I been wandering in my mind? Have I been neglecting my obedience to the Most High? Have I taken my eyes off of the Messiah? And, you know, I remember Pastor said during Shabbat service, he said, if you've lost any aspect of control in your life, that means sin is ruling in that area. So when you're talking about discontentment, defiance, lack of satisfaction, if there's any aspect of control that you don't have in your life. And when I say control, I mean an area that is submitted to the Most High Yah, where sin is not ruling you. That's the type of control I'm talking about. When sin is not ruling you. And if you've lost that aspect of control in your life, that means that sin is ruling in that area. So that's an area that you have to get a hold of. What's going on in your mind? Are you continually looking back in your mind? And those are valid questions that you truly have to ask yourself regarding looking back. So Daughters of Zion, that's all we have tonight. We're going to cut the broadcast short. I don't want to, you know, just continue to talk, and I pretty much shared what I have on my heart, and I just want to thank you all so much for tuning in. But before I go, I want to just admonish you all to please subscribe to Straightway News. Brother Paul, aka Brother Ugly, puts together the Straightway News broadcast to keep us informed of everything going on in the ministry, and it is yet another way to make sure that we stay connected. So I appreciate your labor, Brother Paul. Thank you so much for making yourself available to the ministry. You can go on YouTube and you can just type in Straightway News and go ahead and subscribe. He always gives us a really good recap of the blog talk, scripture studies, and even the Shabbat services. So please make sure you go on and check that out and subscribe. Blessings to you all, Daughters of Zion. Thank you so much for listening in. I miss you, Mother Carol. I miss you, Sister Ashley. And Sister Ashley will be back with us soon. I'm not sure of the exact date, but I look forward to her return. It's been an honor to just be able to sit before you all. And thank you so much for hanging in there with me. Blessings, Daughter of Zion, and shalom to you. Thank you.